will come back for the second. India have won the test match. India have won the series.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the 81 All Out podcast. This is your host, Siddhartha Vaidyanathan. And I'm here today with the regular crew to talk about the fourth test between India and England in Ranchi. India winning by 5 wickets, sealing the series. And, with one game to play. Terrific test match again. I mean, perhaps the best test match of the series. And, there have been three others that have been quite riveting as well. So, fantastic performances. And the fight back again, just like it was in Rajkot. The third day fight back was the highlight of this game. You had India trailing in the first innings by quite a big margin, but the lower order put on some runs, got them to within 46 runs of England's first inning score. And then India spinners led by Ashwin and also Kuldeep doing a fantastic job to get England all out for 145 in the day when the match basically turned India's way. India, of course, still had 192 to chase in the final innings, but eventually got there after a few hiccups. They were 5 down at one stage, still needing 72, but Shubman Gill and Dhruv Jurel, who is just playing his second test, put on a fantastic partnership, which meant that India won by 5 wickets. Anyway, so joined by Mahesh, thoughts, observations. I think we were having quite a few discussions on our chat group, and there were a lot of agreements and disagreements. But I think I must mention here how Mahesh was forecasting an Ashwin 5-4 in the second innings and ended up just the way as that. I mean, I don't know if it was wishful thinking or not, Mahesh, but a finished bowler retains his place for the innings.
I mean, Ashwin 5-4 is one of the easier predictions in Test cricket. It's going to come around like way sooner than you can imagine. So it's been a great series, partly because of the inefficiencies in both teams. I'm sure KD is going to talk about the inefficiencies in England. But also, like, if you have to have a precondition for either India losing a home series or India having a closely fought home series, you needed what? Like, you needed a transitioning team. You needed the post-peak India team, which is happening right now. You needed some of the key players to be missing, which is happening right now. And you needed the opposition to win a couple of tosses, which happened. And you needed them to have adequate resources to exploit those winning of the tosses. All that happened. And yet, this Indian team, first by their choice of the playing 11 and then the way they've executed their skills, plus the way the newcomers have played, have ensured that this, even after losing one love, they've come back and sort of won the series quite, I wouldn't say comfortably, but without too much trouble, right? And that, you know, they've, in fact, in many ways, they did have choices. Rahane is not retired. Pujara is not retired. Ishan Sharma, for instance, is not retired. Umesh is still around. Even if you have frontline players missing, they could have easily resorted to one of the stopgap arrangements, right? But they went ahead. And now, in many ways, they accelerated the transition, particularly the batting lineup. And even after losing the first test, and even after losing key bowlers and key sort of batsmen at different stages of the series, they back themselves to it. I mean, KD pointed this out earlier as well. I mean, this team plays such attacking cricket, and they deserve so much credit for doing that. And I mean, everything that the test turned gold, but the way Dhruv Jurel batted, I mean, he looks so organized. He didn't even look like a great wicketkeeper batsman. He just looked like a great batsman, right, without any qualifiers. And I was mentioning this on the chat that he reminds me of Dinesh Chandimal, who is one of the really good top order batsmen for Sri Lanka. I mean, that's how good he is. Ashwin and Jadeja are like Ashwin and Jadeja, of course. I'll make some points about England. I know Karthikeya has written an excellent review of the series, but I do have some counter arguments to make for that. I'll do that later. I think for now, it's been a great series. It's been a cracking series, partly because of the inefficiencies of both teams. which is kind of surprising because that's what we discussed in the retro pod that we did, right, about the 2001 series, that that the pockets of inefficiency in both teams makes for such a fascinating contest. And in some ways, that's what we got here as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to, you know, some of the great series of the past. For instance, I mean, would the 2005 Ashes have been as close if McGrath had been around for all the tests? I mean, you know, who is to say? You know, so I guess, you know, the sort of, and for instance, 2001, that famous series where India won 2-1 and Harbhajan took 32 wickets, would it have been as thrilling and as close had Kumble been around? And if Kumble and Harbhajan were to bowl in that series? So, you know, all that is sort of, it sometimes players missing makes it that much closer, and especially home players missing. And look at India. I mean, you have Kohli, KL, Shreyas in the batting lineup, and then you have Bumrah, you have Shami, who has missed the whole series, Bumrah, who's missed like this test, and I mean, of course, you have Rishabh Pant, who has been missing for quite a while. I mean, all these are regulars. I mean, all these players would have been playing in the top 11, and so without them, India have gone ahead with you know, even bowlers like Mukesh, Akash Deep, players who perhaps would have never got a chance to you know, make their debuts if not for all these absences. I mean, they might have eventually, I mean, maybe in a couple of years' time, but wouldn't have got a chance so early. And same with Jurel and Sarfraz and you know, Pathidar. All these players might not have got a chance this early if not for all these absences. So yeah, it's made for a terrific series. The other thing is that in India, I mean, over the last quite a few years, I think the third innings has been such a pivotal part of this team, right? I mean, when they are bowling in the third innings, there is, I mean, that is when that sort of, they come back so well, and they've done it like time and time again. Doesn't matter if they're, you know, if they're trailing or if they're leading by a small margin or if they're leading, whatever the margin of the change, it seems that the third innings brings, the way they bowl in the third innings as opposed to the way the opposition team bowls in the third innings is so vastly different. And it's almost like they figure out the pitch by then really well. They figure out the speeds to bowl. Like Ashwin, for instance, in this game, right? I mean, and he himself was humble enough to accept that, about how even after 500 wickets, how this great bowler comes and talks to you and says that, I mean, even here, I mean, when you come to the east of India, which is where Ranchi is, with the soil and the way you have to bowl very differently compared to how you bowl in other parts of the country. And so he was saying how in the second innings, he had to actually go, like, get quite a bit of a change in this, the way he bowled, in terms of the imparting more side spin, bowling quicker, and trying to, you know, push that, I mean, bowl that ball quicker so that it can, unlike what he was bowling the first inning. So I think that was, all that is fantastic. It just shows you how the bowlers sort of, even home bowlers in the home team, even bowlers who have bowled for so long, are still, you know, constantly battling against the conditions and how to bowl and how to spin the ball. So this whole, yeah, India produces spinning pitches. I mean, yeah, of course they do, but at times, but they also produce pitches where their own spinners need time to figure out how to bowl. And the same thing with the opposition. I'm sure the Bashir and Hartley are closely following what Ashwin, Jadeja and Kuldeep are doing to see how they can get the most out of this pitch. So, yeah, I think all that, this team does extraordinarily well.
And just the fact that even after all that, they didn't choose to go with the extra batsman, or even, in fact, even in bowling, right? They chose to replace Akshar with Kuldeep. I mean, that's actually such a ridiculously aggressive choice, right? You're basically trading off your batting depth for extra bowling chops. Even after all that's happened through the series.
Yeah, but coincidentally, though it was pretty unexpected, Kuldeep did end up batting really well.
No, when you say unexpected, by fellow Mumbai podcasters, right?
Mumbaikers, it was unexpected. But yeah, I mean, but come on, it's not expected for Kuldeep to bat as well as Akshar, or you know, the way he batted here. The partnership that Jurel and Kuldeep had in the first innings could have been a partnership between, you know, Jurel and Akshar in another test. I mean, it so happened that Sure, the pitch was, had sort of wasn't really misbehaving at that stage. But even then, to come in and to add all those runs, and then not only, and Jurel, one thing about him is he seems to be this sort of batter who is really good at batting the tail, and that is its own skill. I mean, it's, to bat in that position there, and usually wicketkeepers bat around there, right? 7, 7, 8. And to have that skill is like fantastic to watch. I mean, he just seemed to, he trusted them. I mean, even Akashdeep, he was not like, shielding him all the time. He was trying to, sometimes he even gave him two balls to face in the over. But the way he was rotating strike, the way he was, picking the balls to hit, he seems like, Sunny G went to the extent of comparing him to MS Dhoni in terms of temperament and what he saw. I can see where he's coming from. I mean, yes, it's his second test, it's early and everything, but I can see why he sees a bit of MS in him. Kartikeya, I did read your review of the series on Substack. I will link it. It's a fine little sort of capture of what went on and why. Actually speaking, for all talk of baseball and England and attack and everything, England have not attacked in this series as much as they should have. And how the attacking team in this series is actually India. And it's a persuasive point.
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole thing is like, baseball just sucks all the oxygen out of the air,
Yeah, totally. That's all everyone talks about.
Yeah, so everything is sort of reference to baseball, which, is sort of tedious, But basically, England have been really negative, and you can ask, then their selection has not been great. I'm not a big one for let's say stuff about selection, et cetera, et cetera. But, England, they're just not picking enough bowling to take 20 wickets. And, they know that their spinners are, inexperienced, right? And they brought inexperienced spinners. But then they don't seem to want to give them any support. You have Bashir bowling for two sessions straight. And he was tiring visibly in the last hour of that 4 hour spell on the second evening. It's not a coincidence that Kuldeep and Jurel batted out that last hour. So in the fourth innings again, at one point Hartley and Bashir had bowled like 45 out of England's 55 overs. It's rare to find failures of selection in Test cricket, but this is one of them. First of all, you have inexperienced spinners. Then you're not picking enough bowling. Then you're picking four bowlers, of which one is James Anderson, who doesn't bowl enough overs. So then you have Joe Root bowling more overs than James Anderson in the series. Then you have Brendan McCullum saying things like, we'll play four spinners if necessary. Well, if you thought you were going to have to play four spinners, why did you pick the squad that you picked? How can you have only four spinners in your squad and then play four spinners? You should have bought the fifth spinner, no? Or a sixth spinner.
I think it's pretty clear in this series that whatever they say in the press conferences, I don't think we should take seriously. A lot of things are just being said.
Yeah. But what else have we got to go on? I think they've been spooked by the turning pitches. I think they've been spooked by the threat of turning pitches. And basically their solution to that, to being spooked by the threat of turning pitches, has been to basically pack their batting, and worry about, who's going to sort of... Their one idea is to take chances and force the bowlers to change their line and length and do something that they don't want to do. If they can get the bowlers to do that, then they can sort of they can eliminate the threat of the opposition bowling. But that doesn't work. No, I mean, that hasn't worked. Didn't work for them in the Ashes. It didn't work for them here. You know, because the bowlers are just going to wait. No, they're just going to wait. They're going to get dismissals. You know, then once in a series or twice in a series, it'll work maybe. But they'll still lose the series, no, if the opposition bowling is better. It's not a winning strategy, no. I mean, if by aggression and if by attack, you mean that an approach which is designed to win, right? Then baseball is not, whatever England had done in this series, call it baseball, call it whatever you like, is not an attacking approach. It's a very negative approach. You know, I mean, I was listening to this one podcast yesterday on the commute. I think it was Hussein and Atherton.
Yeah, I don't know what sport, show it. Sky Cricket, Cricket podcast. I can link it. Yeah.
So they mentioned in passing this thing that, oh, well, you know, how does this England compare to the 2001 England? Actually, it compares really well. You know, both are very, very similarly constructed squads. You know, they're all very dependent on batting. They're picking their spinner for the spinner's ability to bat, you know, Ashley Giles. It is all very, very, very negative. You know, and that's what McCullum and Stokes have done in England, in India this for England in India this season. You know, I mean, at least in 2021, England tried to take 20 wickets. You know, they played their bowlers. They played enough bowling. You know, at least they were trying, and they did take 20 wickets. You know, in 2021, England lost a wicket every 42 balls to India's bowlers, and they scored 20 runs per wicket. In 2024, on vastly better wickets, they still lost a wicket every 42 balls to India's bowlers, but they scored 27 runs. Okay, now, on the other hand, in 2021, England took India's wickets at a cost of 28 apiece. And in 2024, it's gone up to 38 apiece. So who's come out ahead? I mean, England have done worse in 2024 than they did in 2021. And the margins have been huge. I mean, they've lost two tests by three figures. One of them was, you know, by 400 runs, in which India's entire second innings was to spare. And then they won one test because, you know, Ollie Pope played over an innings he will never repeat again in his entire life. And
even no that test England was 28 runs.
That was also 28 runs. And this one, India had no right to win it. I mean, it was like, you know, this test match, the team winning the toss and batting first, like, unless it was a minnow, it should not lose this test match. Like, any team which picked, like, a plausible bowling attack which could take 20 wickets, like, enough bowling to take 20 wickets, they would have won this test match batting first.
I'm not so sure. I mean, the pitch was, it kept changing color. I mean, it wasn't like...
It didn't change color, man. It didn't change color. It was uneven. And, you know, it was... There were times when the bowlers hit the cracks, you know, continuously over a few overs. And then there were periods when they didn't. You know, in England's case, I mean, Bashir and Hartley basically tired. I mean, towards the end of their spell. So they were not like spinning the ball as hard as they normally do. And the pitch did turn more in the third and fourth innings than it did in the first and second innings. No, I mean, on the first morning, there was a little bit of moisture, granted. But then even then, England still got to bat, like, you had the best use of the pitch. And even on that first morning, I mean, they gave away so many wickets, like, you know, like terrible, terrible batting. You know, like, not really, I mean, they're trying to hit, I don't know, they're trying to hit sweep from the stumps. They're trying to basically play big drives on the rise on the offside. You know, I mean, when you know the pitch is wet, why do you have to do that outside the off stump? But they do it. No, I mean, and this is supposed to be attacking. This is just, I mean, this is not very bright, frankly. No.
Yeah, I mean, if they notice how the Indian batters swept, and if they sort of reflect on their sweeping, I don't know why they still continue to sweep from the stumps the way they do. Yeah,
because it's they do it because they want to hit the bowler off their line and length. No, I mean that.
Yeah, but you are talking about like really pretty good batters. I mean, this is not like okay. I can understand if Duckett does what he does. That's fine because he's perhaps limited in his you know stroke play.
Oh, sorry,
but
sorry,
come
sorry.
On, Johnny Bairstow and
apart from Root, who is there as an obvious candidate who would have batted better otherwise? Okay. I completely agree.
I think Bairstow would have batted a better otherwise.
Wait, what's wrong
with
Bairstow?
I think Zach
got bad.
No. But Bairstow did not get out to low scores because of bias ball, right? He got out because he didn't have a good series. I mean, he just didn't
bat. He's sweeping from the stumps.
But he's always done that, man. It's not like... I don't think his approach... Okay, Root getting out the way he did against Ashwin in the second innings or getting out to Bumrah with that reverse scoop is him getting carried away with this idea of attacking cricket. But Bairstow has always played this way.
Yeah, that's true. But I think, for instance, Zach Crawley will score more runs if he stops trying to take crazy chances in the hope that they come off, because he believes that if that one chance comes off, then he can milk the bowler for the next 2 hours. This was Zach Crawley's theory, because explaining the shot he played to Akshar Patel in one of the test matches. You know, he was caught at cover point by what's his name, Shreyas Iyer. You know, he tried to hit him over mid off, and it skied, and it was a swirler at cover point, and Shreyas Iyer took a diving catch. You know, but the point is that the thing to be noted over there is that mid off was up for Crawley against Akshar Patel, and he still went for the shot. You know, so it's not like, you know, there was a fielder on the boundary and he went for the shot. He wouldn't have gone for the short term. So these are not like, and his explanation of that shot was also like later on weird. Like his explanation was, well, you know, if that had come off, it would have set me up for a couple of hours against Akshar Patel. Is that how it works, really?
Setting like, the tone. You.
Yeah. That's a very, that's a weird way.
Listen, okay. I completely agree with you, but it's not like, okay, I'm going to play the same argument back to you. These are trivial choices. Whether they played more conventional cricket, I don't think they would have scored more volume of runs. I'm not convinced. Okay, the Joe Root, I agree, right? Joe Root playing conventional cricket would always score more volume of runs, or often score more volume of runs, than if you try to attack like recklessly. But I'm not convinced. In fact, I'm reasonably convinced that with other players, baseball is going to help them score more runs than they would otherwise. Of course, I completely agree with you that that's not going to be competitively significant if their bowling attack doesn't help.
I mean, but Bairstow did score more runs in 2016 in India.
Yeah, but he goes through these bowlers. It's got nothing to do with the way he bats, right? He's always been.
He's not. I mean, he's taking a lot of chances now. You know, I mean, he's taking a lot more chances now than he was, you know, before this baseball.
All of them are. All of them,
yeah.
Apart from Root, this series, this test where he went back to Root of...
I don't think Stokes played the way he normally does. I don't think he was particularly trying to attack.
No, but Stokes is different. I mean, Stokes has had like a... I mean, Stokes, to be fair to him, hasn't really got out to a bad shot. I mean, he's been beaten by Ashwin. He's been beaten by Jasprit Bumrah. He's been beaten trying to... force the pace while batting with the tail.
Come on. It's the same thing that this guy did, right? Labuschagne. He was playing so much of the back foot and makes normal good leg deliveries look better.
But he's sort of the seventh or eighth person out and stuff like that. So that's different. That's different.
Also, I don't think Ben Stokes is actually, like, if you see since his captaincy, I don't think he's actually the poster boy of baseball at all. He bats like very differently from a lot of the other players. I mean, he bats perhaps the way he has, you know, that is he's most comfortable with. He's not taking as many chances even as many of the other players. In fact, he waits much longer than many of those other players before he tees off. That's partly also because he bats a lot with the lower order, and so he may be taking a different strategy. Anyway, but yeah, it's an irony that associated with the baseball.
I think on the wickets that they've had for especially the second and third test, and even in the first test, since England batted first in the first test, they would have made more runs if they had not given, like, not offered India wickets, you know, sweeping from the stumps and trying to slog over the infield, like, so frequently. You know, I mean, eventually they just run out of luck here. I mean, how many, like, every innings is the same pattern. They set off at a million miles an hour. They're like 90 or 100 in 20 overs. And like they're bowled out in 55 overs for like 250 or whatever it is.
But I am not convinced that these, for instance, you know, Ollie Pope has scored how many 50s in India? Just, he scored 100. That's it. He's not even scored a 50 before. And this 100, we've already established this is a once in a lifetime innings. So in the previous series, he used to have, you know, have a strike rate of 38, 40. And it's not like he scored more volume of runs.
Yeah.
Bestow has not scored more volume of runs. Okay, I am not arguing that this England team is poorer or something. My argument is whether they play this way or more conventional way is a trivial matter. If anything, I am inclined to believe that they'll score more volume of runs with this approach, which is, again, it's not hugely significant. But I do have a counter argument to make against that. I mean, I think your comparison with the 2001 series is spot on, right? And contrary to what they say about baseball, they came here knowing...
You mean 2021?
No, I'm saying 2001. I think,
Nasir Hussain.
Nasir Hussain's team was very clear, right? They had limited resources. They knew that they can't win like that. And they had to make the best use of the resources to take the contest for as long as possible, right? As far as they can. Which is exactly what these guys did. They knew that they had limited resources. I mean, even like Ollie Robinson or bowling more of Anderson. I mean, to me, that's trivial in this context because... Okay, let's say even if you gave more overs to Ollie Robinson, even if you bowled wicket to wicket with keeper up front, sure, you could have got a little bit more control, but it's not going to be game-changing. For them to win, they needed their spinners to deliver. And for their spinners to deliver, the match had to become a bit of a lottery. So they were pretty happy to sit back and not compete till the preconditions met their resources, which is basically winning the toss and for the wicket to be doing a lot that even an ordinary bowler looks threatening. And... So they were prepared to compete only when the preconditions align for them to compete. And in many ways, to me, that seemed obvious. That, I mean, there was a bit of a clarity about what they wanted to do. It is not at all attacking. It's actually very, very defensive. But, you know, the problem with the 2020 team, that 21 team that Katie mentioned, sure, they tried to take 20 wickets more often and they actually succeeded more often. But this approach, I mean, I can't dismiss this approach as impractical because given the resources that they had, given the team that they were competing against, it's not a bad approach. I mean, it is a very defensive approach, but from the position of not losing, from the position of giving themselves the chance of maximizing their, you know, like window of opportunity to win, it was a reasonably practical decision. That's the way I see it, at least. They want to be projecting themselves as this super aggressive team, but they were actually playing conservative, negative cricket, knowing that that's the best that they could do with the resources that they had. At least that's my reading, right? They
but
can
that's
say
the point. I don't think they've made best use of their resources. I think they've picked a crazy squad, which, given what they've been saying that they want to achieve, the squad they've picked makes no sense at all. You know, like if McCullum really wants to pick four spinners, then he should come here with more than four spinners, no?
But I don't believe it. I mean, they played with like three bowlers even in Pakistan, dude. They got away with it. But like...
Yeah, but that's because Pakistan's... All the bowlers in Pakistan were injured, man. And they had to like... They had to rustle up some 20-year-old leg spinner and hardly never played anywhere. And even that guy got wickets against...
Even England's bowling, they got 40... They got 20 wickets, no? In Pakistan.
In Pakistan...
Yeah, but they have like James Anderson and Ollie Robinson playing in those test matches, no? Like here, they didn't even pick Ollie Robinson until the fourth test.
I think one aspect about Ollie Robinson, KD, which Atherton mentioned is, I think they're not yet convinced about his fitness. Like even in this match, Atherton was disappointed that he was bowling. Get him ready.
So get him ready. No, it's not.
The body takes its own time. No, body takes its own time to recover.
Yeah, but so get him ready. No, they don't have their NCA or what. Send him there. Get him ready. Then don't bring him. No, if you're bringing him and your point is, well, he's not going to be ready until the fourth test anyway. What kind of selection is that?
But KD, but okay, honestly, leave aside your fandom of Ollie Robinson. Like, how much of a competitive significance does his bowling add to the contest in India? Really? What is the track record to be?
You're trying to tell me on this Ranchi pitch, which was where the ball is keeping low, the bounce was low. If you had Ben Folkes standing up to the stumps and you had Ollie Robinson bowling wicket to wicket, attacking the stumps constantly with like two mid wickets and two extra covers, and basically a ring of eight fielders in the infield, he wouldn't have got LBWs.
If let's say India got off to a cracking start in the first innings, then there was scope to experiment. India were actually in deep trouble in the first innings when the spinners were bowling.
Yeah, but
so it was too much of a gamble to change.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. It's not a gamble to change. When the spinners are tiring, you have to change them. The reason they're bowling so long is not because they're bowling well. It's because they have no other options. Like their option is root. And it's not like they can throw the ball to James Anderson and get him to bowl a 5-over spell at the end of the day. No, he's not going to do that.
But I'm not convinced that Ollie Robinson could do that as well. I mean, apart from the fact that there's inconsistent bounce and he's got the height.
They didn't even try. They played him and then they didn't even try. No, the point is that if you think that, you want to get these spinners to hit the wicket hard, right? And you pick these tall spinners because you want them to hit the pitch hard. And get the ball to break, right? And they're going to do it at like 92 kilometers per hour or 88 kilometers per hour. Ollie Robinson can do that at 120 kilometers per hour. You cannot say that, well, you pick these tall spinners because you want the, who are picked because they're going to get the pitch to do the work for them. And then you have a guy who's even taller, who has the highest release in world cricket after Kyle Jamieson among fast bowlers, and you're not going to use him. That doesn't make any sense. You have to at least try it. No. What's the point of bowling, not picking him under the first test, then picking him, then complaining about his speed? Even though I can't for the life of me think that, in the 2 or 3 days leading up to the test, they didn't know how quick he was bowling. Why did they pick him if they knew how quick he was bowling? I mean, and this match was like, there's a 10-day break after this match. They could have picked Wood, if they wanted, but they didn't. I mean, I don't like the idea of complaining about selection, but with baseball, just by looking at all the things that England have been saying that they want to do and all the explanations they have been giving about the things that they want to do and the things that they have been doing, their selections make absolutely no sense at all. This whole bath ball, Ben Stokes saving Test cricket, blah, blah, blah. There's no evaluation of England as a cricket team anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's why this podcast exists. That's why it's worth writing about and speaking about. No.
That's not why this podcast exists. Come on. Niklo.
Yes, Ashoka. Late, but latest.
Sabi Niklo. I mean, what all these guys said? I mean, what all you guys said, man, in this last 1 month? What all you guys said? 3-2. It'll be 3-2. It is the most competitive team to have ever graced the Indian soil. What is that? They are playing fast to give their bowlers time to pick 20 wickets. And what is that? 192 is a lot of runs.
There's a difference between what you want to happen and what you think will happen. A lot of 3-2 and all is stuff that I want to happen. It doesn't mean
if wishes were masal dosa and medu vada, I will be the owner of Adyar Anandabhavan. Give me all these excuses. You guys implicitly supported England for 1 month, wanting India to fail. What happened? 3-1. You said Indian spinners don't work. You said Ashwin doesn't work. Kuldeep is too young. Jadeja is getting too old. He's broken. Akshar is not effective. Only India relies only on Bumrah. Without Bumrah, we won a test.
I'd like to bring to your attention that the only player who didn't miss throughout the series, and that's not a coincidence that India won the series, is the captain himself.
Hey, don't talk about him, man. He's the only batsman who got caught out and also stumped. This is the worst disgrace.
Yeah, yeah. Ashoka, that should actually count as like, he should be counted as out in the next innings also, no? Like,
he should not bat, first of all. What is this rubbish, the running down the pitch? Look at that young boy Gill, man.
Like, Mahesh is saying, oh, he's the only guy who's not taken a moment's rest and all. He's played all the matches. What does he do? Like, he bats, he gets out early about 80% of the time. When he's in the field, all he's doing is like standing around at first slip, dropping catches and not running.
Hey, he's yelling at kids, man.
Yeah, and shouting at players. That's all he does.
Look at Stokes. How he's encouraging
buckets. I mean, he probably took the catch of the series, standing at slip. So don't forget that also.
What catch of the series? Holy Pope. Captain of the series.
It seems. Did you see James Anderson's catch take to Yashasvi Jaiswal?
That is the catch of the series.
Like,
but Sharma was the shot of the series.
Rohit Sharma would feel that on the second bounce, okay?
Rohit Sharma is old, but Anderson is a fossil, man. He jumped like 7 feet in the air.
From your anti-Rohit Sharma thing, who is the guy who started the run chase with such confidence and panache?
Yes, Ganta.
He says, man, that Hartley gave him like 5 full tosses in 3 overs. Look, you can't be a victim and say that we have done well. We have thrown everything at the team. And then when you see the scorecard, you are 177 runs ahead with, 3 wickets to pick in the first innings, man. You are just this close to dominating this test. Forget that 145.
They didn't have a bowler, no, to replace the guy who was tired after bowling for 3 hours.
You don't have bowling. First of all, you don't have bowling. You didn't have bowling when you picked your 15. You did not have bowling. You knew that.
You didn't even pick the bowling you have.
Correct. So when you pick a squad, that squad doesn't magically appear on the sheet, right? You pick people, right? So you know, like, your experienced people are Mark Wood, Robinson, and Anderson. But Anderson won't bowl more than 4 overs in a spell. Even the spell when he had the Iyer and all in trouble in the second test, it was
all this is a bit of sort of hindsight thinking. When they picked their squad, the pitches that they were expecting were not these pitches. Okay, but they picked the squad for the 2021.
Right. Okay, Sid, that's okay, fine. But then, if that's the case, then why they picked only 4 spinners?
I mean, how many teams picked?
You said that they picked their squad with keeping in mind the 2021 thing, no? Which means they picked their squad expecting to play 3 spinners, right?
Yeah, now, 3 spinners, yeah.
Now, when a team play, when England go to Australia for the Ashes, how many fast bowlers do they go with? They expect to play 3 or 4 fast bowlers, no?
5?
Yeah.
6?
Yeah. So, so then, if they're going to play 3 spinners, they should pick, no? 5 spinners? They haven't.
Yeah, sure. 5 spinners is... They have 4, what? Right?
That argument is a non-starter, saying that they picked the thinking of 2021 and all that. You arrive at the match. No, it's not like they blindfold you and then they throw all 11 people into the field and the match starts. No, you.
That's a good way to start a match.
But Ashoka,
what kind of fantasy is this?
But see, in the baseball era, since they are saving Test cricket, no, England, they announced their squad on Twitter the day before the test match. Like,
man, come on, man. You can't say that we are stupid, so make allowances. That's not an argument, no.
But Ashoka, that's the whole argument of that's the whole description of how England have played in this series. You know, well, our spinners are inexperienced, so we can't expect much from them. You know, so considering that we've done well, what does that mean? That's like India going to England in the 70s and saying, we don't have really good fast bowling. So, you know, Sunil Gavaskar did well opening the bowling for us. So, you know, make allowances. So nobody's going to make allowances for that. That's not how this cricket works, no? If you don't have spinners and you don't pick spinners, then that means you're a bad team. No, that means you're a weak team. That's what it means, objectively.
That's pretty much why India realized at some point of time that, you know, they have to, that if they don't develop fast bowlers, then they are not going to win anywhere in the world. So
I mean, I don't mind. When England play, England actually win with fast ball. They win with proper bowling, man. I mean, in England, Anderson, Broad, Wood, Wokes, that's a really good attack in England. You know, in New Zealand also, it's a good attack, but New Zealand also had a good attack. So they drew 1-1. I mean, the whole story of fast ball is that fast ball is basically useless for England as a competitive proposition. England win the test matches that they are going to win anyway because their bowling is better than the opposition's. But when their bowling is not better than the opposition's, it's fast ball is no use to them.
Yeah, so when series like Pakistan happen, it rather than accepting that and saying that their bowling attack was better than the Pakistan bowling attack, they
which
say
not saying
they
much.
Won. Which is not saying
no,
much
no,
because
no.
Pakistan
so that,
were missing.
That Pakistan series is what spoiled the narrative, right? Because they went with three bowlers. It's not like they had a particularly penetrative bowling attack. Except that Pakistan also had a thin attack. So it was a competition of thin attacks in which the better batting along with the marginally better thin attack proved to be the difference. And that
I set
the ball in motion.
I keep saying this again and again. In that Pakistan series, out of 60 Pakistan wickets, England took 32 of them under 25, I think. That includes Ollie Robinson's wicket. That includes Anderson wickets. That includes Rehan's 7 in one innings. But still, they got more than half of Pakistan's wicket in very, very quick time. And they used Ollie Robinson and Anderson very cleverly, even though they didn't bowl like longer spells.
And they're good bowlers, yeah. Like Robinson and Anderson are class bowlers.
What the hell, man? You can't bowl 70 overs and not bowl Robinson. What the... I mean, and no commentator is talking about it. I mean, nobody is talking about it.
I mean, they've got...
The commentators are talking about Ben Stokes' field placements every ball. Every ball, that's something.
As if it's like some magical thing, like his fielders are going to grow extra hands and they're going to like, you know, like an octopus, they're going to catch like everything in like a 10-meter radius or something like that.
And you know what is going on here? They're like, even Indian commentators are saying Rohit Sharma is taking a leaf out of Stokes' book. I'm like, if captaincy is objectively a competitive advantage, Rohit has actually provided far more of it to India than Stokes has done to England.
If the commentator said Rohit Sharma took a paw out of Stokes plate, then I would believe it. Otherwise, I'm not going to believe in
Mahesh. Oh yeah, which reminds me, Mahesh came up with the best coinage of this test match, Pav ball. Pav ball is the way they should
No, then I changed it to Bal Pav, right? In Bombay, you don't do...
Bal Pav. No, I'll tell you where Rohit Sharma took a leaf out of Stokes' book. In the first innings, Stokes was both LBW and bold to Kuldeep. First, he got LBW, then he got bold. So Rohit Sharma took a leaf out of that and got caught and stopped.
But like the really sort of wonderful cricket part of this series has been like India spinners. Now, there have been like the amount of control they get, like given how much they turn the ball. Actually, ironically, the reason they have such good control of length is because they turn the ball so hard. Because they get the ball to dip. And that sort of makes sure that, you know, they rarely overpitch unless they really mean to overpitch, you know. So it's really been fantastic. I mean, I think Ben Duckett may have played like 12 or 15 forward defenses in this series and he's got out 3 times playing forward defenses, you know.
That's fine with Ashwin and Jadeja because they're finger spinners and they've been doing this for a long time. You kind of expect that. But Kuldeep, man, with a wrist spin.
No, but you expect it, but it's still bloody spectacular, man.
But Kuldeep, yaar, when he just came, he's just...
Kuldeep has been magnificent. Like, he's just... I mean...
Kuldeep is, I think...
He's been like the whole, like... He's presided over this series, like, you know, Ernst, Stavro, Blofeld, you know, like in the Bond movies. You know, like... Like in the third test in Rajkot on the fourth morning, he did like enormous time pass with the bat. Like he played 70 balls in the first 18 overs of the day. And you know why he did it. No, he was practicing for this first innings in Ranchi.
I thought Kuldeep was a replacement for Kohli, man. Now I'm thinking he's a replacement for Pujara. He's Pujar. He is the number three that we were looking for, not the number
and four. Pujar also bowls leg spin, so yeah.
Yeah.
A magnificent bowler, man. My goodness, yeah. He's so good. And you know, India is so fortunate to have, I mean, like at some stage through the series, I was thinking, okay, what would life be post Ashwin Jadeja at home particularly? But we still have Bumrah, who's got a few more peak years left. If at all we've seen the peak, perhaps the peak is yet to come. And Siraj is sort of getting into his groove. I don't think he's still hit his peak. Then you have Kuldeep pretty much at his peak. And he's going to play for a few years. So even after that, okay, I mean, after the sort of match, I tweeted this, that this is a proper flex of the bench strength. And, you know, I was not, we did discuss about this team aging together and the need to transition. I thought they'll transition over a period of time. Like they did an accelerated transition and they still won a series 3-1 after losing two tosses. And like KD said, they had no business winning this test. After losing the toss, after being like under so much trouble in the first innings. And you still sense that they have enough resources to come through even after Ashwin retires and after Jadeja sort of retires.
New players will come in. That's sort of the future is hard to predict, you know. But I mean, right now, I think one of the things that is there is that every player who comes in and plays for India, like they're one of the amazing things I find about this current generation is that every year the players get better. Like they learn new things, they get better at new things. They either become fitter or something improves in their game. And that's like, okay, when they, by the time they're 32, 33, they're peaked and all that. That I find really astonishing.
Akashdeep just came in and the first spell that he bowled was high quality, dude. I mean, I was surprised. That's his first ever test stint. And that was not fluking it. He was actually bowling the right channels.
He was getting a lot of help from the pitch. That's a good thing. So, I mean, I think the comparison between Akashdeep and Mukesh is a bit overdone. I mean, there's a lot more in this wicket than there was for Mukesh in the previous test match. Before Siraj came back. So, but yeah, I mean, he's a good prospect, you know. I mean,
Akashdeep, I'll mention something about Akashdeep. I mean, it's also like, you know, throughout this series, you've also seen how, you know, Akashdeep is like a remarkable story. I mean, the fact that, you know, he had to give up cricket for a period of time and, you know, he had such tragedy at home with losing both his father and his brother in such a short period of time. And then going, basically, he was born really close to Ranchi. I mean, he was born pretty close to Ranchi. But then he went to around the country pretty much trying to, you know, make a cricket future for himself. He went to Delhi, then he went to Bengal where he plays Ranji Trophy. These are like remarkable struggles to go through, to come through the first class system and then to excel, to then be one of the top bowlers in the country and to get through to that. And he just is amazing. Like that first spell was just, he was pitching it. Like the accuracy of that spell was fantastic. Like forget the speed. I mean, I was really impressed that he was bowling like in the late 130s, even touched early 140s. But forget that. I mean, the way he was able to get that length again and again and again. And he got Crawley once, no ball, fine. Then he gets him again. But pretty much the same, like the same kind of ball, he gets him again. Like, brilliant. Like, that was a fantastic opening.
Yeah. But I mean, the quality of prospects that we've seen in the series is quite something, huh? I mean, okay, Jaiswal. I mean, they've given like 10 debuts now since February 2023, right? Of those, I think only like Surya Kumar Yadav was probably like a stopgap. You know, all the others are like young players, I think. You know, or, you know, long-term understudies like, you know, Srikar Bharat, for instance. Or even Ishan Kishan, and the quality of the players is quite good. Yeah, Prasidh Krishna, I'm not sure, like whether he's fully ready for that for that debut or not, because he's also come back from so many injuries. But, you know, and like they have the whole system, no? Like they have the whole like conveyor belt, no? Which goes from Ranji Trophy to Dulip Trophy to Irani Cup to, you know, or rest of India, or, you know, to India A. And then by then they have a pool. So when the selectors are picking the test team, the selector's job is actually quite simple because they already know like who the next two or three players for each position are. So most of the work of selection is actually done in picking those Duleep Trophy squads and picking those India A squads and stuff like that. You know, all of them, all these players have come from there. You know, Sarfaraz Khan, Rajat Patidar, Dhruv Jurel, Akashdeep,
yeah, but Mukesh but Kumar. Jurel is very interesting because see, Akashdeep, you can, you know, he is sort of, he's proven. Sarfaraz is proven.
Even Jaiswal, actually.
Jurel is a very interesting call because there's obviously something there the selectors saw, which we saw during the test. So, yeah. Which they saw and they picked and they sort of pushed him through. I mean, it was a remarkable sort of composure that he showed both innings. And his keeping has been, you know, good as well. So, great prospect. And great prospect across formats. He looks like, I mean, he's already, you know, done well in the IPL and looks like a player who could play across formats.
Yeah.
So, no, but one thing I wanted to say about Kuldeep, there was this moment either side of the, in that second innings when Kuldeep and Jadeja were bowling together. Like there was this long phase where you had Kuldeep and Jadeja and both got wickets. You know, when Bairstow fell and Robinson fell and folks, you know, all of them. And I was just thinking, like you have Jadeja bowling, you know, you have him bowling like around the wicket. I'm just thinking of the batter here and seeing the angle at which Jadeja's bowling and the speed at which he's bowling, the drift he's getting, the things he can do with the ball. And then you go at the other end and you face Kuldeep, who is basically like doing like an equally number of great things with the ball, but he's doing it just differently. And the angle you're facing is so different. Yeah. Like, unbelievably hard to face such bowling ball after ball after ball. And to when both of them are like so mixing it up so well. And no wonder that England just couldn't handle it. I mean, they just fell. The batters just kept getting out.
But that's a feature. Huh? I mean, all the Indian bowlers are very different and all of them are originals. You know, I mean, Ravindra Jadeja is a, yeah, both with his batting and his bowling, he's like as such a minimalist. You know, he's got this simple, repeatable action, you know, and, you know, Ashwin keeps saying, you know, that he envies how Jadeja is able to be so uncomplicated. Yes, this is what Ashwin says. No, I mean, I was listening to one of the Kutti. What's it called? What's that show called?
Kutti Stories.
Yeah, yeah. In the where you get the subtitles. I was listening to some episode. He's talking about Jadeja, and he says, "Oh, I envy that. You know, he has a repeatable action. He can bowl the same ball again and again and again for an 8-hour spell, and out of 48, he'll bowl like 45 in the same spot." You know, that's a remarkable skill. And of course, Jadeja is not just putting the ball there. He's turning it really hard. And he's an incredibly strong guy. And I mean, he bowls like 92, 93, 94 kilometers per hour on average, you know, and sometimes he even goes up to like 97 with his faster one. Then you have Ashwin, who's a completely different proposition, you know, like in this match, I think Ashwin was almost bowling as though, you know, the main threat was the bounce and not the turn. And so Ashwin was trying to pitch it within the stumps and bowl like the one with the parallel seam. And then I think he when he got Ben Folks caught and bowled, I think that was actually a carom. You know, so and he gets that parallel seam ball to like swing away from the right-hander, you know, which is quite a thing. You know what I mean? So, and then you have Kuldeep, who's like, who's googly. I don't think like Ben Stokes is picking Kuldeep's googly. I think of quite a few of the England players are not picking Kuldeep's googly. But like he rarely loses his length, you know, and he turns the ball so hard, and now he's able to bowl a little bit quicker than he was like when he first started in like 2017, 2018. So he's so much better, you know. And then you have Bumrah, who's of course, you know, sui generis. He's just unique, even among, like, even among Indian fast bowlers, he's unique. And then you have Shami when he's available, who's sort of a very attacking bowler who bowls a very attack, much more attacking length than Bumrah does, you know. And then you have Siraj, who bowls cutters, who can do so much with the ball, and who is also so attacking. So they're all different, and they all do so much with the ball. You know, that's the thing that I find so amazing with them. Like they're able to get the ball to go off the straight in such a wide variety of ways, and they are such masters of all the ways in which they can get the ball to go off the straight. No, because that's what makes a bowler, no, in a test match. You have to get the ball to deviate off the straight. You know, whether it's turn or whether it's dip or whether it's drift or whether it's seam movement or whether it's cutters or whether it's, you know, reverse swing or conventional swing, or, you know, whether it's wobble seam, whatever. You have to be able to do something, no? And they have such a, if you take like the whole menu of ways in which India's bowlers can move the ball off the straight, it's such a spectacularly wide, like broad menu. Like they have such a broad array of pitches covered when they're all available. It's like, it's a remarkable thing.
Yeah, it is. And it's, you know, I was actually thinking when I was watching Kuldeep bowl, for some reason I thought of Stuart McGill. And Stuart, not because they're similar, but I was thinking about how Stuart McGill got like 200 plus test wickets. And he was like a turner of the ball. He was like he could turn the ball a long way.
But not a side spin.
Yeah, but he didn't have anywhere close to the kind of range that Kuldeep has. Yeah. I mean, Kuldeep is able to do like 5-6 other things so well compared to McGill. And he's able to like combine it all together when he's bowling. And I'm like, dude, I mean, I'm just trying to sort of see the range at which he's operating at and what he's able to do. And he rarely bowls a loose ball. Like Stuart McGill, it was often said, you know, he would bowl that 1-4 ball in an over, which is what, you know, separated Shane Warne from him, because Shane Warne was good enough to be, to not give that loose ball every over. But Kuldeep doesn't. I mean, how many loose balls did Kuldeep give in this match, in this whole, you know, game? Very, very little. And for a wrist spinner who is trying to do so much, who is trying to come up with so much of variety and sort of nuance into his bowling, to not give a loose ball is remarkable. I mean, see, we saw Rehan Ahmed. I mean, Rehan Ahmed is not a bad bowler. I mean, Rehan Ahmed is a good bowler, but still, you know, he's developing. He's learning.
He's 10 years behind Kuldeep, man. He's 19.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So I'm trying to say that, you know, we shouldn't look at Kuldeep and Rehan Ahmed and say, oh, this is a faltu bowler and this is a good bowler. No, Kuldeep is a very, very good bowler, and Rehan Ahmed is a good bowler who's developing into a good one, perhaps, or a very good one. You never know in the future. So
the one problem with Kuldeep, or the one mistake with Kuldeep that I can find, is that I think he chose the wrong time to be born, man. If he had been born like 20 years ago.
That is not his choice.
Yeah, that is the one fault with him. I think if he had born 20 years ago, he would have been like now a 500 or 600 wicket bowler. Or if he had born like now, if he's like 17-year-old Kuldeep Yadav, then I think after Ashwin, he would be the 500 wicket bowler. But bang in the middle of Ashwin and Jadeja, this guy comes, and poor guy, man. I mean, there is no, I mean, what can be done? He's most.
Remember Shastri's famous statement after that tour to Australia in 2018, where he said Kuldeep is the number one spinner now?
Number one spinner when playing away from home. That's what he said.
Playing away from home.
And then he didn't play. I mean, Kuldeep is a genius. It's not even like very good or great or whatever. He's a genius. He was a genius even earlier. I'm just saying, but now with more control and with more pace, he's going to play for a long time. I mean, like even now, even though he missed out on a lot of years, he could still go on to take 400 because he's that good.
400, he's on 40, man. Now that means He has to play another 80.
Yeah, he has to play a long time.
But how old is he now? 29, right? 28 or 29. Right?
Yeah, 8 years of 8 or 9 years to...
That he can play. Another. I mean...
I mean, at some point, Ashwin... I mean, I don't know how long Ashwin will play. Jadeja,
I don't think beyond this World Test Championship final, if India gets there, I don't think Ashwin might not be there next year also. I don't.
Yeah, so then India will need Kuldeep to play every almost every test. I mean, if Jadeja can continue, but even then, Kuldeep will play. Yeah. We didn't say anything about Gill. But I think that has been a feature of our reviews. Every time we have to say something about
Sunny. No. Okay. We don't have to say anything about Gill because the whole narrative around Gill through the series was so funny. First, they said, oh, he's like a fish out of water in Test cricket. And then he had this scratchy, lucky inning just because, you know, like he was pretty much in good control throughout the innings. But for some reason, a couple of chances and they said scratchy, ugly innings. Then he scored another 90 for good measure. And then he goes on to win a very tricky chase. I mean, like this kind of reinforces the point that you know you cannot just judge by results. There is nothing. If you watch Shubman Gill bat, there is nothing in him that suggests that he's not fit for Test cricket. If anything, he's super fit for Test cricket, right? And I'm glad that
if Shubman Gill is not fit for Test cricket, then who is fit for Test cricket?
No, nobody like, said he's not fit for Test cricket.
What is your standard of a Test batsman?
As Dravid said, if not you, then who?
Then,
okay, wait, 1 minute.
Wait.
We don't know whether Dravid said it or not. Okay, this is
Shubman Gill turned Dravid into Mahatma Gandhi or Martin Luther King
or Mark Twain.
What is going on, man? This like they should like. I really, really think like they should like. You know, BCCI should ban all these players from having social media accounts and like, you know, people running social media accounts. All they make is trouble, man. It's either like cringeworthy nonsense or like it's like genuinely stuff which gets them into trouble. Like,
yeah. People should ban social media accounts and tell Mufa and Johns to put everything about each player. Thank you for joining. We will join you again after the final test at Dharamshala. Hopefully, another fine contest. The series is done, but. Ashwin's 100th test, right? Ashwin's 100th test, Bairstow's 100th test. And irrespective, the series is done, but still promises to be a good game. And if it's a close game, and, you know, obviously if England can win, then 3-2 is much better than 4-1. I don't think there's a draw going to come here in this series, at least. I mean, all games are finishing in like 4 days and, you know, it's not as if there's been any chance of a draw anywhere. So, yes, thank you for joining. 81 All Out is our website. At 81 All Out is our handle on X. You can contribute the amount of your choice at Ko-fi. That's ko-fi.com/81allout. We are really grateful for all of you who have chipped in. And some of you have been putting in a regular monthly subscription. So, thank you for that. I will also link the books that we have republished via the 81 All Out Publishing imprint, some classic works of cricket literature that you must pick up. Thank you. Thank you, Ashoka. Thank you, Kartikeya. Thank you, Mahesh. Good night.
India have won the series. They're going to get back for two. India at home. Lords goes wide.